Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Well, Joan, we don't often start the programme with sports news.
No, we rarely even end a programme with sports news. But today, there's kind of two stories that have cropped up this week that both involve sports in a direct and an indirect way. And the first one was a meeting over the weekend that the Holy Father had. He welcomed members of the Austrian Alpine ski team and talked to them, obviously, about competition being competition, being competitors, not just in the area of sports, but athletes who seek to win the prize of a Christian life. And it was really wonderful. He talked about how sports can help in the full development of a person. And he had this long list of qualities: resistance, tenacity, a willingness to commitment and sacrifice, internal and external discipline, respect for others, a team spirit, solidarity, justice, propriety, awareness of one's own limits. And he said these are all virtues that occupy an important place in daily life, and they're actually part of sports when you think about it. So an important part in daily life, and he said you should always be in training for these. Kind of makes you think of St. Paul's letter where he talks about having run the good race, and he uses sports terms. So it was a great meeting that the Holy Father had, and he did speak, of course, to the skiers about being models for young people. And, you know, I think we both know there's enough athletes out there today. There's wonderfully good people who do great things in their private life and in their churches and things like that. But then there's other athletes who are kind of held up as models for young people, and the only thing they may be good in is their sports. Their private life may leave a lot to be desired. So
well,
that's what the Pope is saying.
I think the news this week where Ian Botham was given a knighthood, not only for his contribution to cricket, but also because he has raised millions for leukemia research through sponsored walks and things like that.
There are athletes out there who, off the field, very quietly, very energetically, very wonderfully do good works. Now, speaking of athletes and on the field and off the field, I suppose a lot of our listeners were aware of headlines that came out in papers in the last week, such as Vatican buys its own soccer team to bring ethics back to Italian soccer. Will the hand of God feature in a Vatican team? And of course, very simply, Vatican buys soccer club. And even more simply, that is not true. And Father Federico Lombardi, of course, head of the press office, head of Vatican Radio, did come out with a statement earlier in the week that denied these reports at the Vatican or the Italian Episcopal Conference. He had bought the Italian football team Ancona, which plays in Italy's third division. Now, actually, of course, the Ancona club and CSI, by the way, was the organizer of the Centro Sportivo Italiano of that Clericus Cup, the soccer cup among priests and seminarians last, I think it was around February and March and in the spring. Anyway, they did sign an agreement in involving the application of an ethical code in the area of sports, a new role of economic management, and so forth. So that happened, but the Vatican and the Italian Episcopal Conference, said Father Lombardi, of course, had nothing to do with that. But he did say these are initiatives which are positive and have positive and commendable aims. And if the declared intentions can be achieved, this is certainly, of course, a good thing. But what was really cute in his statement, Father Lombardi said that at the Wednesday General Audience, the Ancona team would be present at the Holy Father's General Audience. But he wanted to make it clear, and I thought this was the cute part, that the Pope has not sponsored or taken responsibility for running this particular soccer team. So,
but the thing is, the church couldn't buy one particular football team anyway, because it's automatically going to create divisions with supporters of other teams as well. And then are they going to be supporting their faith or whatever if they go against?
Well, can you imagine the Vatican, you know, spent 10 cents buying a soccer team when there's people out there who need help that the Vatican does give through Caritas, through Cor Unum, through so many of its agencies, the millions and millions of dollars. And I could never, ever, by the way, just kind of, you know, interrupting our news, but we're going to link it to our next item. I could never, ever talk talk enough. I want everyone who's listening and then tell other people how much the church does throughout the world to help people. They have educational, they have welfare, they have health institutes that are run by religious and lay people. They do amazing things throughout the world. But what is so little known is how much money. Now, it's money that people do contribute to the Vatican. They give it to the Pope, they give it to Cor Unum so that they can help needy people, whatever the case may be. And then the Holy Father distributes it. But I mean, it's millions and millions of dollars. And the media don't too often pick up on that. Now, I mentioned Cor Unum. It's a pontifical council that's often called the Pope's charity arm. And monies come in from all over the world to Cor Unum, and they are designated for charities, for cases that the Holy Father may himself designate, or the council will put the money forth to something, and then the Holy Father will approve it. And the head of the council, who is Archbishop Paul Joseph Cordes, is leaving on the 15th. He'll be from the 15th to the 21st in Russia. And he's going to be traveling in Moscow, Novosibirsk, and very many different places. He will meet Franciscans. He will meet some of Mother Teresa's nuns. He is going to visit various offices of Caritas. And a lot of this is going to be linked in his visit. Oh, and the most important thing, how could I forget to say this? The most important thing is that he's going to meet Russian Orthodox Patriarch Alexis II. And that's a very important meeting. There are people who see that meeting perhaps as a precursor, a prelude to a visit to Moscow by Pope Benedict. But anyway, Archbishop Cordes is going on this trip to spend a lot of time with Caritas agencies, and they're going to see how the Holy Father's encyclical, his first encyclical, Deus Caritas Est, which did dedicate so much of itself to love in the sense of charitable giving and so forth. They're going to see how that which was brought to Russia and taught to the Catholics there, how that has played out and perhaps had an inspirational role in the Caritas movements.
Mm. But this is also perfect timing, really dovetailing into the week leading up to World Mission Sunday.
Oh, exactly.
On the 21st of October, because, for instance, Cardinal Turkson is going to Britain. And he's going to be doing lots of things in the lead-up this coming week to World Mission Sunday. And the Pontifical Mission Societies, they do so much. The wealthier countries in Europe and in the US collect money through one means or another that is then distributed throughout the world for the missions. And they do the most amazing work. And people often don't hear of what they're doing.
They really don't unless they have. I can remember a couple times in my parish in the United States, we would have, usually about this time of the year, now that I think of it, of course, we would have a mission come, a person come from the Mary Knowles or a missionary order and to talk about their work. And I was aware of a lot of the orders, a lot of this kind of work, but to watch the people around me in the parish who were like hearing this for the first time. And Mission Sunday's only once a year, but the missionaries are 365. They are throughout the world. And
what people probably don't realize is that every diocese, especially in the developing world, produces a number of projects for consideration each year by the Pontifical Mission Societies when they have what's called their Supreme Council meeting.
Right.
In May. And every single project from throughout the world is looked at individually. It has to be approved by the bishop before it can be submitted. But every single project is evaluated so that they can see what money can be given out of the money that has been collected in our own parishes.
And we are so very rarely aware of the specific, you know, we could probably spend an entire day just sitting at the computer writing the names of all the special projects. And then you'd need another couple hours just to read them out over the radio to kind of, you know, really blow people away with the amount of need that is needed, well, amount of need there is. And then the answer that the church gives. And of course, the Holy Father brought this out on at the Angelus this last Sunday, this coming Sunday, Mission Sunday. He, of course, will be in Naples. But at the Angelus last Sunday, the Holy Father brought out the fact that October is the month of two important things. It's the whole month of the Rosary. And, you know, he asked people, obviously, to pray the Rosary and answer Mary's request to, who recommended in many appearances, especially Fatima, the daily recitation of the Rosary. And then the Pope, of course, talked about World Mission Day, reminding people of the fact that this year marks the 50th anniversary of Pope Pius's encyclical entitled Fide Donum, about missions. And in case our listeners have ever heard the expression of Fide Donum priest, Fide Donum in first place means the gift of faith. And this, in the encyclical, Pius XII actually invited bishops to send their diocesan priests to those countries who were in need of missionaries, dioceses which had a great number of priests. And we have that today in certain countries where the vocations are greater than others. Can that bishop in a diocese afford to send some of his people to authorize their diocesan priests to respond to the appeals for mission?
Well, it's not always the diocese that have an abundance of priests that share their resources by sending out a priest. Sometimes
those
it's the dioceses
less, sure,
that are short themselves and in need of priests are still generous enough to offer from their own riches.
And I've been aware, like at the North American College, where there's several young men every year who ordinarily also train, I mean, for the seminary, but with a view to becoming a chaplain. And that's a difficult decision for a diocesan bishop to decide to, what word can I use, offer up, sacrifice one of the young men that he may very badly need as a priest in a parish, but so does the military. They also need chaplains, and everybody is spread very thin, but it'll have to be a very generous offer on the part of a diocesan bishop to give up a priest to either the missions, as you said, or to the military chaplaincy.
Well, it just so happens that as we're recording this program this morning, in about an hour's time, I will be interviewing the newly appointed Vicar General for the Royal Air Force.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, Monsignor, he's only been a Monsignor a week, Monsignor John Walsh.
Those are always wonderful stories, and I know a lot of the stories brought to the American public anyway by Archbishop Edwin O'Brien, for 10 years the head of the military ordinariate, and now, of course, the new Archbishop of Baltimore, our oldest see. Well,
and
on that note,
we've
come to the end again. It seems like we're only in studio 3 or 4 minutes. It's far more than that, but they're wonderful moments, and we hope we enlighten our listeners.
Hopefully. And God bless.
You've been listening to Joan Lewis. To find out more about Joan or to ask her a question, please visit our website at vaticanradio.org.